Okay, let's dive in. We know the score, right? Global regulatory systems, things like AML, fraud detection, they often feel like they're structurally, well, failing, especially with complex stuff, cross-jurisdictional crime.
They really are. When criminals get to that layering stage in money laundering, the traditional systems, they're basically chasing shadows, playing catch up, always after the fact.
Always reactive.
Exactly. It's all about probabilistic checks, post hoc audits. I mean, the investigation often only kicks off after the money's already disappeared.
Right.
So our mission today is to get into ternary logic, or TL. It's a canonical system, and it's designed quite differently. The goal is establishing sovereign-grade evidentiary accountability, real-time enforcement.
Shifting from catching them later to stopping it as it happens,
Yeah.
synchronously.
Precisely. That's the fundamental shift.
Okay, so what's the core mechanism? How does ternary logic get us past this sort of simple yes/no, the binary pass/fail we see in most bank security?
Right, so TL operates differently. It forces every critical decision point into one of three distinct states, and they're cryptographically secured.
Three states.
Yes, you've got $1 for commit, go ahead, then $1 for free stop, and the really key one, state $0, which is the epistemic hold.
Behold, okay.
It's the foundational change, no ambiguity.
Let's unpack that state zero, the epistemic hold. That sounds potentially like a massive bottleneck, systemic logjam just waiting to happen if every little flag halts everything.
Yeah, that's a fair question. But think of it less like a hard stop and more like a circuit breaker.
Okay.
It doesn't automatically reject the transaction. Instead, it pauses it. It basically prevents the crime from hitting that final integration stage.
Ah, so it locks it down.
It locks the activity into a mandatory controlled review state.
That.
It forces a human, often a multi-party decision before things can proceed.
And you need that
Yeah.
because.
Well, think about a huge blind spot. Trade-based money laundering, TBML, current systems might confirm, that a document was submitted, but they can't guarantee its integrity cryptographically. They can't prove its history, its provenance.
Right, the classic garbage in, garbage out problem. If the input documents are fake, the system might check all the boxes, but the crime still sails through.
Exactly. Which leads us right into the pillars of integrity TL is built on.
Okay, the pillars. We've touched on pillar one, the hold state, and you mentioned it needs careful calibration, right? Using historical data, like SAR volumes, to set sensible thresholds so it doesn't just grind everything to a halt.
Correct. You need sensible triggers. Then there's the insider risk problem. How do you stop collusion? That brings us to pillar two, the Gukasian principle.
Gukasian principle, what's that about?
It's about non-repudiation. It ensures that every single action taken within the system is irrevocably signed. Every critical piece of data has to carry this verifiable digital fingerprint.
So you can trace it back.
You can trace it back definitively to a specific cryptographically signed operator identity. It makes collusion much, much harder because there's an undeniable chain of custody.
Okay, that's signing the action. Then pillar three, the decision log. This sounds like the system's flight recorder. It's black box.
That's a great way to put it. It's exactly that, a tamper-evident log.
Tamper evident, crucial.
Absolutely. It captures mandatory fields for every single decision. Things like the cryptographic hash root of all the input data used for that decision. And very importantly, the precise version of any automated model involved.
Like, AML engine version 3.1 was used for this check.
Exactly that level of detail, which is necessary, frankly, to pass stringent regulatory audits like Sarbanes-Oxley. You need that granular proof.
Okay, let's tie this all together. Go back to that TBML example. How does TL actually stop the illicit money movement in practice?
Okay, picture this.
Yeah.
You have a customs document, say a bill of lading, that's been attested within the system. Its value is attested. You also have an invoice, also attested. Now, if the system sees the attested value on the customs doc differs from the attested invoice value by, let's say, more than 20%, a common indicator for TBML BAM,
Triggers the hold.
it immediately triggers the epistemic hold, state zero on the associated payment. The funds don't move. The potential illicit transfer is stopped synchronously with the detection of the discrepancy.
Not months later during an audit.
Not months later, right there, right then.
That immediacy is, well, powerful.
Yeah.
But we should be clear, right? TL isn't magic. It can't prevent fraud that happens before the data even gets into the system.
No, that's true. It depends on the integrity of the data coming in, what we sometimes call external data oracles. If the initial input is fraudulent, TL can't fix that initial lie.
It relies on trustworthy inputs to some extent.
It does. But let's look at how that verified data is governed once it is in the system. That's where this hybrid shield mechanism becomes really interesting.
Hybrid shield.
Yeah. It's engineered for cryptographic certainty. It means private evidence, the really sensitive stuff, cannot just be accessed by anyone, not even a single powerful entity.
How does that work?
If, say, regulators need access to specific private data within the system, it requires a formal legal warrant, but that's not all. It also requires agreement from a minimum quorum like M of N, say 3 out of 5 globally dispersed stewardship custodians.
Wow, so distributed control.
Distributed control. They have to agree to release their shares of the necessary cryptographic keys. No single party holds all the keys.
Okay, so wrapping this up. What does this all mean for you, the listener?
Well, consider the shift. We're moving away from systems where failure often boils down to technical audit misses or fragmented oversight.
Right.
Instead, you have a system engineered for cryptographic certainty, where evidence is verifiable and governance is shared. The conversation fundamentally changes.
So it's less about which bank missed the flag and more about what?
It becomes a question of jurisdictional liability. Based on sovereign evidence held under shared global control, it potentially resets the entire framework for how we think about and enforce financial crime prevention globally. It forces a level of accountability we just don't have right now.